the shadowed thread of promise, messianic prophecy, and the identity of Jesus. There's a thread running through Scripture's dark tapestry under the weight of centuries and the flicker of candlelight against stone walls. This isn't a loud announcement. It's a series of whispers, shadows, and pointed fingers that point to one figure: Jesus. We don't have to rely on later opinions or cultural feelings to figure out who he is. Prophecies were written long before he walked the dusty roads of Galilee, long before the cross cast its long shadow over Jerusalem. A Christian Gothic vision doesn't just see prophecies as dry lists, but as living marks on history. They're like inscriptions carved into a ruined cathedral at midnight, still readable when the moon sneaks through the broken roof. There is talk of a coming one who would be more than a teacher, more than a reformer. They spoke of one who would bear the world's brokenness, who would get pierced, who would rise, who would reign. When Jesus shows up in the Gospels, those ancient words light up like stained glass. It's a good idea to start with the earliest notes. Genesis already has the first chord. God tells us that after the fall, in the garden that had turned from paradise to exile, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head while his own heel gets bruised. It's time. It's time for the serpent to strike. Yet the seed will win. The seed will be traced back to Abraham, through Judah, through David. There's no king in this promise. It's a king whose throne won't end. Isaiah writes with a pen dipped in both judgment and hope. He sees a child born, a son given, whose name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government will rest on his shoulders. His government and peace will continue to grow. Mighty God isn't just a title thrown around. Later, the same prophet describes the suffering servant. He's rejected, despised, sorrowed, and acquainted with grief. In exchange for our transgressions, he's pierced. With his wounds, we're healed. He's numbered with the transgressors. Despite the anguish of his soul, he'll see light and be satisfied afterward. The same scroll that announces the exalted ruler also announces the crushed servant. Only one person in history combines both portraits into a single life. Micah names Bethlehem. Out of Bethlehem, the small town, will come the ruler whose origins are ancient, the ruler of the ancient days. The gospel records the census, the journey, the birth in the city of David. It's a quiet detail, almost hidden in empire's machinery, but it fulfills the ancient word perfectly. Zechariah sees the king coming, humble and riding on a donkey. He sees the one pierced, and the house of David looking upon him. He sees the shepherds struck and the sheep scattered. Even centuries ago, Psalm 22 already expressed the cry of the forsaken, the mockery of onlookers, the dividing of garments, the piercings of hands and feet. The psalm ended in vindication and praise for all. Jesus is nailed to the cross, quoting the opening of that psalm. The details align with a precision that feels more intentional than coincidence. Daniel sees someone who looks like a son of man come with the clouds of heaven, with dominion, glory, and a kingdom that won't fade. As he stands before the high priest, he asserts that the Son of Man will sit at the right hand of power and come in the clouds of heaven, claiming the authority to forgive sins, judge, and raise the dead. It's not modest. It's the language of the ancient vision made real. The identity of Jesus is not an invention of later centuries. It is the convergence of these lines. He is the seed that crushes the serpent. He is the Son of David whose throne is everlasting. He is the child who is Mighty God. He is a servant who is pierced and yet sees the light of life. He is the king who rides the donkey and is pierced. He is the Son of Man who receives the eternal kingdom. In pointing back to these texts, the New Testament writers aren't trying to force connections. They're reading the map that already exists. A Christian Gothic sensibility feels the weight of this. Prophecies aren't neon lights. They're often spoken in the midst of national failure, exile, oppression, and the long gap between the last prophet and John the Baptist's sudden appearance. It's a long night. The temple stones are cold. People are waiting under foreign rule. Then the Word becomes flesh and dwells among them. The light shines in the darkness, and it won't be overcome. Despite the Gothic atmosphere, the gospel enters and transforms it. The same darkness that once hid the king's absence now makes the king's arrival unmistakable. The historical record doesn't show that the prophecies were written after the fact or stretched. The Hebrew scriptures were fixed and widely copied long before the first century. It wasn't invented by Jesus. There is already the expectation of anointed ones coming during the Second Temple. In a way no one expected, He combines the conquering king and the suffering servant into one person, one life, one death, one resurrection. In the resurrection, the servant who was cut off sees the light. The pierced one lives. The tomb is empty. It's the same Jesus who fulfills the prophetic portrait, who appears to his followers, speaks peace, and commissions them. History confirms the identity, not just theory. When you read the prophecies and then look at Jesus, all the pieces fall into place. It's like the shadowy thread is always leading you here. The Cathedral of Scripture was designed to house that presence, with its dark corners and high vaults. Jesus' identity wasn't added later on. The ancient words always lean toward it, because the story's center of gravity. In the end, it's all about the lines of promise. Do they meet in him, or do they go unfulfilled? The Christian confession is that they meet in him. Gothic vision doesn't soften that claim. The light falls where it will, under the moonlit sky of history, among the ruins and waiting stones. The prophecies still speak. The identity still stands. Light hasn't been overcome by darkness, and the king we were promised has come.